This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just a wedding planner, tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding.
Plan that wedding. And be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I am Duncan Reyes.
Well, hello, Duncan Reyes.
Michelle, long time no hear. Good to see
Seriously.
You.
Seriously. Yeah. We were chit-chatting before we started recording, and I have not physically, like we have not physically seen each other since I moved to Boston, which was 2011.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Serious. I mean, we've kept in touch and texted back and forth and, you know, what's going on or recommendations and social media and all the night.
Yeah.
Wow, Duncan. Wow.
We're still here.
Here we are.
Part of the remaining Fab Five.
Oh, my. The Fab Five. So I have had Catherine Kalibokas on the podcast.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Catherine's been on a couple times during pandemic, actually, because, you know, she's not only wedding planner, but she's at the Merchants Exchange. And so we were talking about venues and such. Yes. And actually, the last in-person event I went to was a lunch. No, didn't you go to the luncheon at the Merchants Exchange?
No. The last time I saw both of you guys was when we were helping you with a wedding.
Which wedding?
It was a large wedding at an estate in the South Bay. Remember when you covered their pool and you had the plastic
dance floor
on top of the pool?
Oh, my.
In their backyard.
Duncan, that was like... I've done a couple of pools, but I do vaguely remember that. Wow.
Ago. Yeah. Yeah. That was the last time I saw you in person.
It's been a long time. And so for my lovely listeners, Duncan and I go a long way back. So I started my business, Allure Wedding Consulting, back in 2002. I met Duncan when I was looking for a venue for a big Indian wedding that I was planning. And Duncan was working at the Westin St. Francis as the, what was your official title there?
Wedding catering manager.
Wedding catering manager. As a lot of you listening right now who are planning any weddings at a hotel, you are working with a wedding catering manager, just like Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Westin St. Francis is an iconic San Francisco property. I mean, major. And I reached out. I sent my RFP. You commented on how you had never seen an RFP for a wedding before. And I actually, to this day, teach my listeners when we get on our boot camps or whatever and they're looking for vendors, I say, create an RFP. It's going to save you a lot of time. And you and I met, and we fell in love. I mean, we just had a fabulous time.
We talked for the longest time and had the best time. Yeah. And actually, you were the one, after that luncheon, you were the one that inspired me to start my business. I left the hotel. And that was in 2006 in June. So it's been, what, almost 18 years coming up. So I've known you that long.
Years. We don't look a day over 2 years knowing each other.
We just have good genes.
Oh, and I'm just so happy that you're finally on the podcast.
Glad to be here.
Better late than never. I'm so happy to have you on because you've been in this industry, I mean, on your own and including all the, because you worked at the Fairmont in San Francisco.
The plan was I actually went to school to be an architect. What? And then, yeah, you didn't know that.
I was going to be
an architect. And then I took a summer sabbatical and got bored. And so I took a job being an assistant to the director of events for a company for 7 years before I ended up going to my first hotel that I opened fresh from the ground up. It was the Portman in San Francisco, which is now the JW Marriott on Post and Mason by Union Square. And then after that, went up to the Fairmont in Nob Hill, mm-hmm. and then moved to Chicago Fairmont. Mm-hmm. And then after that, left to become a food critic and contributing writer to several media publications. Then the offer came back to me for a former boss of mine who was retiring due to medical reasons and wanted me to take his place as the general manager and director of events at the Julia Morgan Ballroom. 3 years later, another opportunity came and they said, we're looking for someone to do strictly nothing but weddings. And that was the Westin St. Francis. And that's where I met you. Mm-hmm. And after I met you, 3 weeks later, I left and the rest is history.
Boom.
Here I am.
Well, you do have a special knack for weddings. You always did.
I do. Yeah.
It's something that we have in common. It's just in our blood.
I wish all wedding planners were like you. And that's what inspired me too. I said, like, I got to do what Michelle is doing. I tell you, my only regret was I didn't do it sooner.
But
yeah. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Good.
Having a lot of fun with it. Yeah.
Well, Duncan, we are here today to talk about vendor meals. And I actually, that I can remember, I'm going on over 400 episodes now, have not done an episode strictly dedicated to this subject. And it's going to be a simple episode because there's not a whole lot involved in vendor meals. But there's still people out there. There's still marriers out there. In fact, I answered a TikTok once. I did a video on someone who said on the TikTok, do I have to feed my vendors? I didn't know about this. Why didn't anybody ever tell me about this? A lot of people have no clue until someone mentions it to them or they see it in a contract, if they read a contract, that they have to feed some of their vendors.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, is a lot of people don't know that they start really early, especially photographers and videographers, right? You basically need to feed those that are on site for the majority of the wedding days so they can be fed and shouldn't have to provide their own food because they don't have time to do that.
No.
So as a courtesy for the amount of hours and the work and labor they put in, I mean, what, 10, 12 hours?
A lot of them,
photographers, videographers mostly. I mean, the ones you don't need to feed are the ones that don't work the event on site.
So let's get into that. I mean, yes. Yeah. How many hours would you say, Duncan, like if you were advising your clients with a vendor being on site working at your wedding, how many hours would be the minimum that you'd be like, okay, we need to provide a vendor meal for this vendor?
Well, I don't know if it's a minimum, but I would say is when the vendors stay there through dinner.
Yeah.
Their required vendor meals. If they're just there for background music, cocktails or what, you know, dance performance, no, you don't need to. Florists, no. Hair and makeup, obviously not, because they end just before they leave for the ceremony.
Yeah.
If they stay longer for the event, past dinner or up to dinner,
they should be fed.
Absolutely.
So just to clarify, if it's the type of wedding professional who you've hired to drop things off or decorate and then leave and then maybe come back to strike, we are not worried about feeding them.
The only exception is bands. Usually big wedding bands, they have the writers in their contract that stipulates that they require a meal.
Yes, we're going to get to that because that one needs its own like kind of explanation. Right. So anyone dropping off, setting up, leaving, we're not worrying about feeding them. But if they're going to be there, it's usually like if they're there for 6 hours or more, they're usually going to be there during dinner and then we are definitely going to feed them. Right. And there's a few exceptions and there's a few like, maybe not. But let's talk about this. How much do vendor meals typically cost?
Right now, I'm spending anywhere between $50 to $80 a person, not including tax and tip.
In San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Per vendor.
I mean, some people say it's like $35, $45. Not in the Bay Area.
Right. So a lot of you listening are going to hear $50 to $85 and freak the F out because we're talking, I've got listeners all over the country, Duncan, and internationally as well, right? So what something's going to cost in, you know, Idaho, let's say, is not going to be the same as in the Northern California or Southern California or New York City, let's say.
Right. And that's based on whoever's the caterer servicing the event. However, there are a lot of options. And if, number one, if the client says, well, we'd like to have them join us, that's one option. The other option would be you can order out and have it brought in. You know,
caterers. So that does happen. I will comment that a lot of what I've seen also is, let's say you're working with a caterer and they will say, okay, just so you know, vendors are going to eat whatever we give them, or vendors are going to eat what your guests are eating. However, we're gonna cut the price and we're gonna bring it down to 50% of what you're paying your guests. That often happens
because they're not necessarily having what the guests are having.
Not exactly, maybe. And it's a different type of service. So I would say, I mean, your vendor meals might cost from your caterer or your venue $30. They might cost 50% of what you're being charged per guest or depend, you know, it's kind of all over the board.
Right.
And here's the thing. And let's just go into this because it seems actually they're right. Appropriate time, you know, is it always that you have to feed the vendors and utilize the catering service that you're utilizing for the wedding guests? Do we have to feed them from that caterer?
No, not at all.
Okay. So what are some alternatives that you've done, Duncan, in the past or suggested to your clients?
Okay. On the higher end, I did this one wedding in Calistoga.
Yep.
And the caterer, we will not mention names.
Nope.
Was not very approving. And so we ended up ordering from Dina DeLuca when Dina DeLuca was
around.
And they offered off-premise catering services and drop off. And so I asked the client, I mean, obviously you would have to ask for approval because they're paying for it.
Right.
So they said, yeah. Order from Dean and DeLuca. So we waited until first the guests seated, and then Dean and DeLuca delivered right after they started dinner.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing what we got from Dean and DeLuca, it was like embarrassingly much better than what the client had.
Oh, no.
So it was a little embarrassing. Then you have those caterers who offered like boxed lunch meals.
Yeah.
Sandwiches, fruits, and never.
Never.
I will never again order boxed lunch meals. I have to have hot meals for my client, for my vendors. Cheap, but it's not good value. And in the end, they starve.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, here's the thing. I know a lot of people think like, oh, let's just get them pizza. Right. Like, let's just go get, you know, let's do the box lunch. And like you're saying, I think what a lot of marriers planning their weddings are seeing mm-hmm. is their budget spreadsheet, right? And seeing how much they're spending and saying, man, I have to cut corners where I can. I didn't even realize I was going to have to feed them. I thought they would feed themselves. So I can understand the logic in, oh, let's just do sandwiches. But you're right. A lot of these vendors, let's say a photographer, lugging equipment all day, sweating, hot, you know, they're running all over the place, burning calories like crazy. You know, they need nutrition. They need energy. They need food. And they need to sit down for a minute, put their feet up and eat a hot meal. It's just, you know, it's kind of being like decent. Now, again, you don't have to get the food from your caterer. If you're in a metropolitan area where there's a lot, there's DoorDash, there's Uber Eats, you know, like you can order for delivery, do it. You just need to make sure, logistically speaking, that it's going to be done at a time and in a way where it's not going to be obvious to your guests or disruptive to your wedding, which can be hard because you have to have like a point person to be go receive the food.
And then the thing is too, is a lot of times clients invite me and some vendors to sit down with them.
Yes.
And
yes.
As much as I love to do that, we're always standing up, sitting down, going back and forth, not knowing when we can eat. And it's a plated meal.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's no time when they can sit down and have a meal.
It's
so
very,
I always suggest, you know, get a separate room or a private space for just the vendors to break, leave their equipment, hang out. You know, it's like the break room.
Okay, so this is our ideal. Let's stop. That's a great point, Duncan, is where are these vendors eating and at what time are they eating? And the time can get really tricky. Because different vendors need to eat at different times. I have seen over the years, and I'm sure you have as well, there's a lot of photographers that will actually in their contract have it written that they do have to sit in the main dining room where the guests are eating. Like they must because they have to be there and see, oh my God, grandpa just got up and started dancing with grandma and it wasn't in the timeline. We've got to capture this. How would they have known? By the time somebody runs, you and I being the wedding planner, by the way, we don't eat when the other vendors are eating because somebody needs to be on the floor. We would have had to run back and tell Mr. Photographer to wipe his mouth, you know, put his shoes back on and run out because grandpa and grandma are dancing. And guess what? They're not dancing anymore. So a lot of times a photographer will either A, eat with the guests, which is, I don't love it, to be honest. I don't love that. Yeah. Or B, eat at another time after the guests or after dinner service has started, you know, or if your photographer is a team of two, one of them will eat while one of them stays on the floor kind of a deal. So it's really dependent on the timeline and the team that you have. Yeah.
Right. And this is the reason why every time I arrange for them to have a meal, it's a separate room and it's a buffet.
Oh, this is the best.
Sternos, because it keeps the food warm, and they can easily replenish it, and there's no timing needed like plated meals would be.
Yeah.
See? And I try to keep it in a separate room because it just doesn't look pleasant to see a photographer sitting down a table, standing up, videographer running around, sitting back to eat, and then standing up and moving around again. Mm-hmm. It's just very distracting to the guests. And it's not pleasing to look at. So I always suggest if there's a private room, try to be as close as possible to the main dining room. So it's easier for them to go back and forth. And feeding on a buffet when it's convenient for them to sit down.
This is the absolute ideal situation. And this often is something that can happen when you're getting married at a hotel, right, Duncan? Because and it almost always is when it happens at a hotel, is that there's so many banquet rooms and spaces and catering staff that a very nice hotel will automatically say, we've got the vendors in the Eiffel Tower room, and the vendor meal will be available from, you know, 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. So right. whenever they can come in and eat, we will make sure to have a buffet available with hot food. We will replenish mm-hmm. and no worries at all whatsoever. That to me is absolute heaven. That is what everybody wants.
Yeah. And it really depends on which caterer you choose or which hotel you choose. The luxury properties do it so well. Mm-hmm. I prefer chef's choice. Unless the client says, feed them what we're having. But the Fairmont, we had a lavish buffet. We had not only salad and main entree, we also had desserts, sometimes the wedding cake, mm-hmm. coffee, decaf tea, sodas, mineral waters, and juices. Mm-hmm. And it was a lavish big buffet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then you have the boutique caterers will do smaller buffets, but the food is extravagant. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just limited salad, main entree, and dessert, mm-hmm. they do it also just as good. Mm-hmm. But it really depends on the budget. It depends on what the client wants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as a standard and as a rule, I have to have a hot meal for my vendors.
Yeah. So we've talked about who we have to feed, right? Anybody, any vendor that's going to be there 6 hours or more and definitely there during dinner service. We talked about how much vendor meals cost. I would say anywhere from $30 to, you know, potentially 50% of what you're paying right. for your guest meals. What time vendor meals should be served? It's usually around dinner time. A lot. So again, if this is all dependent for those listening, right. check in with your caterer or hotel. But because a lot of caterers will be like, no. Those vendors are not going to eat until all the guests have eaten. A lot of them are like that. And they're like, we're not budging. This is the way we do things. Sure. So it's really dependent on who's providing the food service. Or, like we said earlier, DoorDash it. Order yeah. it for delivery. I would have my assistant go pick up the food. Right. But a lot of people listening don't have the means to hire a professional wedding planner. And so a lot of people are DIYing, or as I say, PIYing, plan it yourself weddings. Okay. Oh, and what type of meal service are ideal is a buffet that will be there for a couple hours so that everybody can come through and eat. But that doesn't always happen.
Right.
So let's talk about finding out if your vendors require it. You need to read your vendor contracts.
Contract, right.
And they will likely have it in there. And if they don't have it in there and you know they're going to be there during dinner, you got to find out. Don't wait till the last minute. I have a few examples of mm-hmm. vendor contracts here just to kind of show the listener how it varies a bit. So this is an example from a photographer contract. And this photographer calls it hospitality instead of meals. It says, if the assignment requires the photographers, plural, to work for 6 hours or more, a hot meal is to be provided. So this vendor, this photographer is specifying it must be a hot meal. So no sandwiches here. No cold sandwiches. If one is not provided, the photographers have the right to leave the wedding and acquire food. So this photographer is saying, if I'm there more than 6 hours, you got to give me a hot meal. And if you don't give me a hot meal, we're going to leave your wedding and we're going to go get food. And that is not ideal.
Wow.
Here's one from a DJ. Client agrees to feed artists and assistant, if applicable, a quality, freshly prepared meal, quote, not a vendor meal boxed meal, it says, by the way, not leftover food or any other substandard food. It is literally saying that in the contract. Wow. Client will provide artist with sparkling and still water and coffee upon request.
Yeah.
Love that. And also, wow, you know, and a lot of times you'll read this like sparkling and still water. Oh my God. You know, you'll just want to make sure that's available at the bar because they'll go over and they'll ask for something, you know, to drink. And then here is what one from a videographer, super simple, but it does specify timing. Videographer's meal break during reception, 15 minutes.
Right.
Client to provide one vendor meal. That's all it says. So that's another thing is like, you got to give these people at least 15 minutes. Really, that's the minimum. I can't imagine only giving someone 15 minutes to eat real quick and go to the bathroom.
Right.
I mean, usually we want to give them 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It's just really hard with a wedding day schedule. And as wedding planners, we try to build that in, but it is challenging.
Right.
So read your contracts because they are going to tell you, you know, what is required of you. Okay, so let's talk about bands. Because bands, when it comes to vendor meals, can be a little bit more complicated. Duncan, you probably work with a lot of bands.
A lot. And so they usually come really early for setup. So because of that, I try to get them fed before the guests arrive. And then part of that band, who starts background music for your cocktails, well, the other half is eating. Mm-hmm. And then when we're getting ready to set up for dinner, they switch places. The one who ate will go and set up while the other eats the meal. So just in time before dinner starts, they've already completed their vendor meals.
Yeah.
But I do keep the buffet going with the hot sternos. So in the event that they break, usually they play 45 minutes, they break 15, play 45 minutes, they break 15. During their breaks, they'll keep coming back. Mm-hmm. For those that didn't eat much because of the disruptions. Mm-hmm. And then refresh the buffet with perhaps hot coffee, more sodas and bottled drinks, and maybe even desserts, or even late night snack buffets.
Yeah. Know?
So that's really, again, the affordability of the client. But, as a courtesy, I think we should respect that they should be fed when they need to be fed, depending on the length of their stay, especially mm-hmm. bands. They stay there till the end, like midnight yeah. or so, right? So you're going to have to keep feeding them, even if it's just small snacks after dinner or small bites.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you bring that up because a lot of time, let's say it's a 6-piece band or a 12-piece band, depending, they usually will send a sound tech out way before right. the artists, the performers arrive. And that sound tech might arrive, you know, if your ceremony is at 2 p.m. and you're going to have a couple of band members even providing background instrumental music for your ceremony, you've got a sound tech there. If your ceremony is at 2, that sound tech is probably there as early as, you know, 12 p.m.
Yeah.
And getting yeah. everything set up. And I mean, they are probably going to need to eat more than once because they might stay all the way till midnight and help break down the equipment and have somebody with them. And so it is a lot more complicated when it comes to a band. Or let's say just the band is providing music for dancing. Still same thing. They are bringing in equipment. They are setting it up depending on the geography, the floor plan layout of your sure. venue. They may need to get set up before ceremony just to have everything in place. So they're not doing it in front of your guests.
And that goes the same for like lighting technicians.
Yes.
Whether the lighting for the band or lighting for the venue, they stay there to make sure everything is well and nothing blows out, you know, or power surge. Same thing. The one thing, though, especially for bands that I find, is that they have their groupies that follow them, right? And I've had many occasions where they would be invited to watch them, but stay in their green room, the vendor room, and eat other people's portions.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's the worst. You're right. I forgot about that.
I get that quite a bit. And I've put
bands
in,
always eat the food of the other vendors.
Yeah.
It happened. It's they're notorious for that.
Even though you tell them not to do that. And there was these groupies or uninvited guests who are non-members of the band come in and take the portions of the other vendors. So then I would have to go to the catering company or the hotel and say, we need more meals. So whatever that addition is, the client has to pay. It goes in their bill. So what do I do now? I set up a contract between me and that vendor to say, if that happens, you're responsible for paying those meals.
Do you really?
Yeah. And I bring up the percentage to cover all other costs like labor and service charge. Sorry, it's not your food.
No, you're right. It's
the clients are paying for the band and for certain vendors, not the outsiders. But so, they do that quite a bit.
Let's because you and I are very well aware of this, but let's elaborate a little bit for listeners who are thinking sure. about hiring a band. So every band, almost every band, not all of them, I would say 80%, will have what we call a writer in their contract. A writer is an industry term for performers. Every performer in Hollywood has a writer that they send in advance, and it's all of their demands. You know, they must have, you know, only Perrier sparkling water, lemon flavored, blah, blah,
they
blah.
They tell you the quantities.
They tell you the quantities. Exactly. We must have a full length mirror in our dressing room. You know, we must have a green room, which if, again, if you're having your wedding at a hotel, this is great because I would put the band in a totally different room than the rest of the vendors. I would give the band their green room, which would have all of their things, their snacks that they are required, their their stuff to put all their stuff because they're going to go and change. They may even do a couple wardrobe changes. The beverages that they require. Sometimes bands will require alcohol. They will.
Oh, not for my weddings.
You don't allow it?
I don't allow, no. Because not just the band members, for all vendors.
You put a kibosh on that, no? Yeah.
And I let the bartenders know. I said, it's a no-no. Because I've had many experiences where they're inebriated. They're out of control. I've even fired the DJ on site. But before I did, I called another DJ, a friend of mine to take over. Because he was so inebriated that he used profanity on the microphone. He was acting delirious and belligerent, and I had to pull him out. So, but not to get away from the topic, am not a fan of serving alcohol to vendors. They're there to work. They're not there to party with the rest of the guests. They can have fun, but it doesn't mean they have to drink like crazy.
Right. Yeah, so, I agree. I think I'm not so like with bands. I'm usually like, okay, you can have your one, you know, glass of champagne or whatever. But I get you. And it's completely up to the client too. They can say no, and then the band can be like, fine, or they can be like, sorry, we're not going to play it, whatever it is. But bottom line is, bands usually have their own set of rules. Separate. And requirements when it comes to food and beverage, way more so than any other wedding professional that you will hire for your vendor team. With regard to logistics, everyone listening knows that they are going to have their guest list and they're going to have to get their guest count and they're going to have to give that guest count to the catering staff, right? To their catering contact in whatever their contract stipulates, a week before, 10 days before, whatever. Final guest count is due at X amount, X date, right? Mm-hmm. But they're also going to need your vendor meal count at that time. Right. Mm-hmm. And one thing I think a lot of marriers out there forget is that not only that they need to just say, yeah, I've got a DJ, I've got two people on my DJ team, I've got, you know, two photographers, I've got one videographer, and you know, my wedding planner, whatever it is, I've got six vendors. Okay, great. That's your count for vendor meals. Fabulous. A lot of people do not ask these vendors, do you have any food allergies?
Yeah.
And that is a big thing. There's food allergies with everybody. Just because they're a vendor doesn't mean they can eat dairy or have gluten.
I mean, the courtesy is if you're going to ask your wedding guests if they have any food allergies or menu restrictions, you should do the same for the vendors because you're giving the final count the same day anyway for all, including the vendors, the guests and the vendors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's a courtesy. You should do that.
It's a courtesy, but it's also really important because I've many a times well, I shouldn't say many, because probably the first time is what prompted me to do this, is I've been sitting, finally taking a breather, eating my food, and I've got a photographer coming to me saying, Michelle, I cannot eat gluten, and I have a major allergy to pepper. And absolutely. This food has gluten and has pepper, and I can't eat this.
Yeah. So, and he can't perform the job.
And then he can't perform the job.
Yeah.
And there we have an issue.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it is a little bit of more work on your end, yes. But guess
I don't know
what?
If you remember this, that wedding that we did upstairs at the Westin. During cocktails, one of the guests had an allergy, and she picked up one of the hors d'oeuvres, as did one of the second shooters. You remember that? And he had an allergy attack. So did the guests.
Oh,
and we
no.
had to call the medics.
Oh, my gosh. I think I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it is important that you ask them.
It's incredibly important that you ask them.
The one thing also that helps, it's not just about feeding the vendors. What I try to do is I try to make their table setting.
Oh, you do.
Really special. Because I want them to feel like, they're working so hard, make it really special. Even as far as putting place guard settings on each seat.
Aw.
Using the extra, you have extra rental items like chargers, plates, silver china glass, linens, especially linens. Because I always have extras for each one just in case of breakage or damage or staining or what.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is usable, I'll dress up the vendor's table. Why not?
Or little florals from the cocktail tables that you're not going to use anywhere else. Put them on the vendor table.
And it incentivizes them to work harder because they feel special about it.
Yes.
Why not?
I love that. Duncan, can you please shout out where people can find you? Website and Instagram, any social handles?
So my website is DuncanReyesEvents.com. Real simple. Instagram handle is @DuncanReyes, one word.
Fabulous. I loved having you, and I love seeing your beautiful face, and we have to do
Likewise.
It again soon.
We will do this again. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. I will link to you on the show notes. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Feed your vendors. This was fabulous. All
be
right.
Be nice to them.
Be nice to them.
They'll be nice to you.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Bye, everybody. Love you. Love your show. Bye-bye.
Take care.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on Instagram @TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast and be sure to use the #PlanThatWedding when posting. Follow on TikTok @BigWeddingPlanningPod. Have a wedding planning question or just want to get in touch? Send an email to hello@thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com or my personal favorite, leave a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Love you, love the show. Bye.